Hey team, you're about to experience my interview with the co-founder of Answerbase, James Arnold. Answerbase is a very interesting platform. It is a Q&A platform for e-commerce. You can think of it like an automated FAQ platform. And it basically starts to expose all of this rich information that you are providing your customers around your products through product pages and other places on the website, as well as through other platforms as well. So this platform not only helps the customer to get answers that they are looking for about your products faster, but it also helps to create super high-ranking, SEO-rich key pages. Fantastic conversation with James, and I think you're going to enjoy it. This is the E-Commerce Edge podcast with your host, Jason Greenwood. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the podcast. It is my distinct pleasure to welcome James Arnold from Answerbase to the pod. Welcome, James.
Thank you, Jason. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's awesome to have you along for the ride today. And I was telling you off air that the audio quality is, it's like literally you're sitting in the room next door. And I don't usually have such amazing crystal clear audio from the guest side. So well done. I don't know what you did, but it sounds bloody good.
I don't know what I did either, but apparently the technology I chose was good enough. I'm glad it's serving you well, Jason.
Yeah, no, we want to hear you loud and clear, and we want to hear all about Answerbase and the technology that you bring to the table for merchants selling via e-commerce. And you work with other verticals too, and not specifically or not solely e-commerce, but certainly, at least from what I can tell in full transparency, I've never used your technology before, but at least based on what it says on the tin, seems like it would work absolutely perfectly for e-commerce brands. But before we jump into the tech, how did you even get into this space? Because we all, it's so interesting. Most of us that work in the e-commerce space, even tangentially, it feels like most of us are a ragtag bunch of people that entered the industry almost by accident.
Yeah, it's like that. So my business partner and I had a lot of experience in Q&A knowledge bases, Q&A communities, and we started to see that there were some e-commerce merchants that started signing up. We were traditionally servicing enterprise level companies. And as we started to see them and started to see the quick engagement, and we knew the value that it could bring from an SEO standpoint for the enterprises. And then when we really started to dig in for a handful of very small merchants and to see how quickly we could provide measurable value for them. And then when Shopify and BigCommerce and these other platforms made it much easier to integrate third-party apps into their platforms, we got serious about it because we saw that we could provide a lot of value for a lot of people who are needing it. And the great thing about e-commerce was you had a product sale right there, and you could attribute your activity and the content and the engagement to a product sale as opposed to something that might have a longer sales cycle. So yeah, that we didn't happen into it, but the platform that we had built, we saw opportunity there based off that handful, and we've grown it from there outside of that handful.
Wow, what a journey. And based on my understanding of the way knowledge bases traditionally work, and I've got a decent amount of experience with this because I remember one of the brands that I was working for in my career previously, as the e-commerce manager, I was tasked with going out and finding a knowledge-based technology that we could implement into the business. Now, unfortunately, what I found at that time was that the vast majority of knowledge bases were bundled together with a help desk and with a live chat platform. It was actually difficult. We ended up finding one that was a pure standalone knowledge-based technology. But at that time, they usually came as a package, and you had to adopt the whole kit and caboodle into your business. And they would always say, for your knowledge base to work well, you've got to bring in all the transcripts from your live chats, and you could be able to mine that for data and be able to add that information to your knowledge base. And then, of course, when you get emails and tickets into the help desk, you got to be able to mine that for information and push that back out to your knowledge base. But we were using our ERP, so we had NetSuite ERP, and we were using that for our help desk. We were using the CRM component as our help desk, and we're using a standalone live chat platform. So we just needed just the knowledge base piece.
Yeah.
And then what I've witnessed as an outsider is that knowledge bases have become also, in addition to becoming part of a suite of products, and probably the most well-known is Gorgeous out there.
Yeah.
You take that one step further, they've all started layer AI on top of this, not only to be able to pull information from a knowledge base and be able to give it in real time via, say, for example, a live chat platform in an automated chatbot kind of way. But then in reverse, they also continue to live update the knowledge base with everything that's coming through these channels, the help desk and the live chat channel. So it's almost a two-way large language model driven knowledge base that both gives and takes into the ecosystem around it. But as I understand it, your system is not designed to replace something like a Gorgeous at all. You're very much focused on more the short and long tail SEO benefits of what your platform brings to the table.
Yeah, that's where we partner with companies like Gorgeous. They did a study of their types of questions, and only about 3% of them are kind of product pre-sales questions. The vast majority of what they're dealing with is traditional support requests, the status of my order, and things like that. We are living in this fine line between support and marketing, where the questions that are coming in have marketing value and conversion value. And so it's a distributed knowledge base. So most familiar to people is on Amazon, you can ask a question on that product page. What most people don't know about Amazon is they actually launch landing pages for those Q&A threads, and people asking similar questions on Google can get there. We facilitate product Q&A on product pages, on product category pages. We have also started supporting page-specific Q&A. And our goal is that any informational gaps that are on the page, also any customer demand for information that we can most efficiently satisfy that to help convert. So we can auto-suggest answers from the product information, product specs, product documentation, et cetera. Obviously, the questions and answers that have been asked before. So there's no reason for a customer to have to wait for that response. If the information's already there, it's like a double-edged sword. If you have great product information, that's great. It also might be a lot. If you have 50 bullet points or 50 FAQs, that sounds great that you're providing a lot of information. I don't know of anybody who likes to read through a list of FAQs to try to find the information that they're already looking for. We make that easily accessible to them so they don't bounce. Because when you get to a product page, okay, I want a RV heater. That's great. You know what? I really need it to perform above 10,000 feet or at a certain altitude. You don't necessarily consider all those things until you're on the page, and then you need to qualify the product. And that qualification process, if you don't make that easy on the customer, they can just as easily go up to the top of the browser and do a Google search and then find a heater that does perform at certain altitudes. So it's more important than ever for merchants to be able to quickly satisfy these needs. We have about 61% of product questions that we can help answer automatically. Amazon Science did a study where 34% of product questions is specs related. We consider it a bit of a crime that those aren't answered automatically. This is specifications about the product. 10% is compatibility. Hey, I need the product, but I need it to do this, or I need it to fit this. And those are actually super valuable. RV Upgrades is one of our customers, and they see that compatibility match 75% of when the question and answer pair confirms the match, 75% of those convert to a sale. A lot of times, this is information that is not easily accessible. It's not serviced well in the long tail with SEO. And if you do it right, you can get both of those things working at the same time on top of the efficiency. Then your customer service reps don't have to answer the same question over and over again. You get the conversion with saving the time. So it's a little bit different than a traditional knowledge base because a lot of those are more support related. This is everything up until the sale to just make sure that's efficient as possible, and then really get that content working for you. from the point that you distribute that information, then it starts to work for you with auto-suggest and SEO.
Makes sense. Now, what we've seen is we've seen a lot of the UGC platforms start to add Q&A to their platform. So they say, okay, we're going to go out, we're going to solicit reviews from your customers that buy these products, but we're also going to send them, send you as the merchant and them, if someone comes onto the page and asks a question, that's going to be auto-forwarded to customer support so they can answer it on page, and or a customer who's bought that product before who gets notified, hey, if you answer this, and sometimes they'll incentivize that. They'll say, hey, look, you bought this before. Can you answer this question? And if you can, then we're going to give you a 5% off to your next purchase or something like that. They incentivize the gathering of this UGC or this crowdsourced product information, right? So are you more focused on being able to go into a back-end knowledge base of some variety where it's been provided by the merchant and or just pulling detail literally from the both structured and unstructured data of the product and then in the moment answer that question that customer has? Or is the idea that you will provide an answer in real time that becomes a static Q&A that lives on that page from thenceforth? Or is it your vision that someone asks a question, you answer it if you can based on the information you have access to in the catalog and or in a knowledge base, and then you, the merchant would then usually come in and review that and make sure that answer is actually accurate?
Yeah. So what happens is that you auto-suggest the answers when you can based off of the information that you have. So we see that 7.5% of people that touch us convert to a sale. And you're able to do that, but an average e-commerce conversion rate is 2 to 3%. So it's an immediate conversion lift, but the gold is actually after that, because the brand new questions that come in, it means that there's a gap in information about a product, about a category, about a page. And that is gold. Actually, 2/3 of the value of a question being asked and answered comes after the initial person gets the answer. So that's where not only making sure that the visitors are able to efficiently get those answers, but distributing it away and publishing it in a way that you can service future visitors efficiently, and also everybody who's asking through organic searches. That's where the real value comes in. Q&A, a lot of the reviews platform that has this as part of their platform, you'll notice that they don't have it listed as part of their platform when you see it, you know, in their navigation. And it's important to do Q&A well in order to get all the value. It's more than a form. It's more than just a list of previously asked questions. It's more than distributing it to the previous customers or the verified purchasers, because you don't get all of the value. Again, if you're not auto-suggesting from product details, product specs, et cetera, 34% of the questions are about product specs. The customer should not have to wait for that. And you don't want to be answering those questions over and over again. Yeah, not all Q&A is equal. And then also, as far as reaching back into part of what our platform does is aggregate the demand for information. What we do is for every single product, we are able to determine out of all your product documentation, what questions are answered within this. We can auto-generate that and auto-optimize it for short tail phrases related to that product. So SEO is built in. We can also feed you with questions about that product being asked on Google, questions that have been asked about that product on competitor sites and other channels. So there's our job is to reveal the demand for information about every product on their site. The merchant's job is to make sure that their team, that their expertise can be poured into the answer to best service the customer. No, you don't want to steal answers from another site. The demand is important. If they're selling this exact same product than you, you knowing what customers have asked about that product, if it's not fulfilled on your site, is very important to you, because you want to make sure that you guys, who are the product specialists, can pour your expertise. It's the whole Google Eat thing, expertise, experience, authority, trustworthiness. this is where the merchants, and especially small merchants, can really shine. Because the smaller you are, the closer you are to expertise around the product. And big companies can also do this well because they can distribute the demand for information to a network of influencers or a network of customers or a network of their real product specialists. And so we have different ways of grouping out users and being able to distribute to the appropriate users to get that best information. And then what you can do from an SEO standpoint, and this is where AI has become really amazing, is the efficiency at being able to optimize for SEO that great content, but it needs to be aligned with how people actually search for the content. And if you can do that efficiently, that's what allows you to get the best value from all of this content that's being shared.
And do you almost see yourself then as a hybrid between an on-site Google search in a way, combined with, okay, I now need to surface answers in a meaningful way for the customer, even if I can't answer right here, right now, based on the data I have? I then am going to tell them, hey, your question has been received. We're going to answer this question as soon as possible, and you'll be notified when it does get answered. So if you can answer it in the moment, you're almost like Google. You're going to immediately surface the answer if you've got it. And then that becomes a static part of the page that remains there indefinitely, again, to help manage the SEO representation there. So I guess, as I see it, in layman's terms, you're a cross between a Google search on the page and the knowledge base level search that you would normally get, the human level response that you would often get with a standard Q&A, third-party Q&A platform.
Yeah, it's answers within the context of what you want. It's answers in context. So if you're on a product page, quite a bit about what this person's interested in. And the fact that they're engaging you within the page also leads to certain types of questions, and the value of those questions is different, which is why like a platform like Gorgeous or a traditional support platform, which is why only 3% of their questions are product related. That's a lot higher with us because you're within the context of the content, of the information, and they're just trying to find that last bit of information in order to convert the sale. If you distribute it appropriately, you can service everybody on Google too. And that's where, when you said static, I cringe a little bit on that.
Cringe, yeah.
Yeah, but here's the thing is like FAQs, traditional FAQs. Okay, here's 10 FAQs. If you want to read through them, go through them. We base it off data. So what is the popularity? What is it sorted by? It's based off of customer engagement, demand for search or demand in search. So it's actually an FAQ. It's actually the information that is most frequently asked. And we can actually tie individual Q&A pairs to conversion attribution. So you're able to surface the Q&A that is most likely to convert. So it's not a traditional, people think about FAQ, they think about a static list. And those are great. Even with our platform, you have questions that you can associate to any and all products. So shipping, how long has your company been in business? These are important. And actually, a lot of these are very high converting questions because they're so far down in the funnel. The customer is really just looking to, am I in a scam here? Are you guys real? Do you have an unreasonable return policy? So you can satisfy those through auto suggest, but then still have original, very specific information about the product that's original, which helps give the SEO value and conversion values.
And I'm guessing that your integration or your implementation into, say, the theme engine of Shopify or BigCommerce is a JavaScript snippet. I'm guessing it's that simple. Is that the way that you integrate? And in that sense, your content wouldn't be static and permanently there on the page and consistently read by Google and ranked by Google. But I'm assuming that what you're referring to there is, hey, if we get a significant list of questions that either A, we can't answer without someone from customer service coming in and helping answer that question for start off, And two, if the same types of questions are getting asked frequently enough, even if we put this information somewhere in the description or in an array or a table or something like that, even if we put that there, for some reason, people aren't, it's not connecting with them. They're not seeing it. They're not able to parse this wall of information we're giving them around product. So what we need to do is we either need to augment and add what we already provide around that product in terms of information, or we need to present it in a way that is more digestible to the customer so that we don't continue to have this flood of similar questions coming in. And obviously, if they do add it to the product information, then that is a static part of the page, and that is indexed by Google. So that also captures maybe perhaps a little bit more of the long tail.
Google years ago became very good at reading through JavaScript and actually recognizing the content that the JavaScript renders as being on the page. So you'll notice if you go into developer tools and you highlight certain divs or whatever, that it will be the markup of content that has been rendered by JavaScript. It actually will be read and indexed by Google through the JavaScript, or of course, you know, if you want to update your product details. And a lot of times what customers will do, they'll get a question and they'll say, I can't believe that wasn't in my product details already. So they'll understand based off the demand for information what they should. But from an SEO standpoint, that content through a JavaScript is also recognized as being on the page. We do also support APIs. So if their development team wants to just take that, and their front-end developers want to grab the content from the answer-based database and then render it as markup on their page without the JavaScript, both options are available. A lot of small businesses, they don't have those resources to dig in, and they still get the SEO benefits from the JavaScript implementation. But it's certainly, everybody's got pretty strong preferences when it comes to these things. So we provide both, and we say, hey, whatever you want to do here.
And so can we think of you perhaps more than like a hybrid between an in-page sort of Google search type of product and a dynamic? So basically, you're in real time, you're constantly updating. So versus a static FAQ that somebody might, from a marketing team or from the customer service team, might update those as questions come into their help desk and they say, this relates to this product. Cool. We're going to add that to the FAQ. We're just going to manually keep updating that as often as we can, try to keep it as relevant as we can. But for you guys, what you're doing is you're dynamically reordering which questions are on that list, what order they come in, what priority and weighting they get. And because you are tracking every single question and every single answer over time, that FAQ then starts to get longer and longer over time. And as you say, because your JavaScript implementation, Google's going to query that when it loads the page, just like a browser would when they're loading the page manually. And so then they're reading that additional content, which adds filler, but relevant filler content around that product page or around that category page. So it feels like it's like a dynamic FAQ. But then how does that work in the context of UI UX? Because obviously, if you've got this long FAQ, I'm guessing it's expandable and maybe it's an accordion type of experience or something like that.
That's where the auto suggest comes in. Like when somebody type, it will automatically surface the content that they're wanting. So they shouldn't even have to read through a list of 5 FAQs or 10 FAQs. Now, we give whatever options that the merchants want as far as how many do they want to show by default, and that's up to them. And that will be sorted by the ones that are actually most popular on search demand. But the real user desire is to answer their question, not read through 5 questions that they might have to find the question that they do have. The auto-suggestion of information that is directly related to what that specific visitor wants is critical. And then you have, it's not just on the product page. So you have the Q&A landing pages that also get spawned. And those are extremely valuable. So I mentioned RV upgrades. They see a 5.5 times higher click-through rate to their Q&A landing pages versus the rest of their site. And that's in Google Search Console. You can do a filter by where the Q&A content resides. We've also seen customers with a 2 times higher lifetime value from customers coming in through the Q&A content versus their normal Google traffic. So we look at it as this old Main Street. Listen, there's a hardware store. Go to Bob. He's going to take care of you. He knows everything about X, Y, and Z. Get there. I wouldn't buy from anybody else. They'll take care of you. You get there. He's super knowledgeable about the topic. You ask a question. It's a great answer. You know what? I'm going to stick with them. So you're able to facilitate that for the world if you're publishing your Q&A content correctly. And as far as like manual FAQ, what we're finding is that the bigger the product libraries, the less that's happening. We have literally been talking to merchants that, so we have this product by product page optimization workflow where we will show the full demand for information about a specific product. If they have 18,000 products, we can hone in on whatever brands or categories or specific products that are their bread and butter, make the most margin, whatever, so that they can just, let's start with the gold and we'll work our way down from there to silver and bronze and whatever. But when we were asking these merchants before they signed up, what were you doing? And they're saying, I have 80,000 products. How many are you optimizing a month? 10. Like literally, I did the math on one of those numbers and that was 606 years. And it's literally an evil number. It's just too long. And even if you want to take the top 20% of those, it's too long. And this is the magic of AI. I equate ChatGPT. Have you seen the movie Good Will Hunting?
Yes.
Okay. The guy in the bar who keeps regurgitating information from books, okay? He sounds brilliant. If you didn't know any better, you would think that this guy knows exactly what he's talking about. He doesn't know because he doesn't understand what he's regurgitating. So when we tested ChatGPT-4 on product questions, it was wrong about 50% of the time. That's going to lead to a lot of returns. But what it can do well is take existing vetted content that's already good, and it can massage it. It can reword it. It can optimize it. And so you talk about updating manual FAQs. The 80,000 and 10, it's not rare. 30,000. How many are you optimizing a month? 35. We have 12,000. How many are you optimizing a month? 50. You've got to do it faster. And especially now with Google's results, and this is Google is no longer for many searches showing the category page. When you do a category level search like basketballs, it is showing as the first option a table of basketballs and their product pages from e-commerce sites. And so this gross inefficiency of the product page optimization, it needs to be done faster. It needs to be done efficiently. So when we ask our agency partners traditionally what they would have done to understand the demand for information about the product, understand what they had to write it, understand what short tail key phrases they need to optimize for, optimize it. They said between 30 to 60 minutes per page. Multiply that by 80,000. Multiply that by 20% of 80,000. It's too long. We have customers going through our product by product optimization workflow in less than 5 minutes a page. We have a specific customer that's going through in 2.5 minutes a page, which we had to, okay, let's slow down a little bit. You still need to do review on this stuff. You want to make sure it's great content. But if we're able to do it 12 times or more faster than it's been done in the past, that's where AI is really shining, is the efficiency that can be created through it. And what's interesting about this is we've always known the long tail gives results. Like we've been doing that for small business e-commerce since 2012. What's new is so with auto-generated, auto-optimized content on that product by product workflow, we saw a site go from 17.5 average product results position to, honestly, it changes by the day, but this morning it was number 2 and this afternoon it was number 1. Okay. And that's on that product table that Google's now displaying on many results. The efficiency is a big deal. And the idea of updating manually FAQ for thousands of product pages, I think what merchants realize is that they're not doing as much as they should. Now that product page optimization is critical, they're going to need to do more faster. And it's just the reality with e-commerce merchants when they have huge libraries of products. They need to kick through efficiently. Now, the beauty of not having a huge library of products is the fact that you can do it for all of your products efficiently. So you don't have to select the gold. You can still select the gold and prioritize that, but you have a realistic path in an economical way to hit all of them and make sure that they're always updated.
Yeah, it makes sense in terms of you wanting to create a great customer experience, a great search find experience, a great informational search find experience, even if it's not specifically product search find. It's once they've identified a product, then they're getting an informational search find experience that is greatly enhanced.
Yeah.
But it also feels this is because I think what you're referring to is that box. I'm not sure exactly what it's driven. I don't think it's organic. I can't really tell. It's hard to tell. Or if that's the evolution of Google Shopping. And they're actually
it's not in merchant listings.
Oh, it's not in merchant listings.
The customer that we are referring to right now from that 17.5 to number one is not in the merchant center.
Hey, team, I have a big favor to ask you. Please pause this episode and send the link of this episode to someone you know that you think would enjoy this content. Really appreciate you spreading the word. This is how we grow. We're not a Joe Rogan. We don't have big, massive advertising budgets, but we absolutely want to grow. We want to get the learnings from all of these episodes out to as wide of an audience as possible, and we need your help to do it. Thank you, and now back to your listening. Wow, that's incredible, because I would love to bring that, like, to that experience first.
This is news, okay? We have talked to agencies that when we display what Google is doing and we show them a result, there's crickets. They've never seen it. They don't necessarily know what to do with it yet. We have talked to agencies where they're like, we don't have an SEO sprint for that. You might need one, because this is not the future. This is not Google saying this is coming. This is now. Do a search for basketballs now. So this is, Google doesn't want to send people to Amazon's category page. And honestly, Amazon's in a little bit of trouble if they don't satisfy this, because this gets into Google's, 80% of Google's searches are for information. Only 10% is for products. The other 10% is for brands or a specific website. Okay. If Google doesn't get the informational search demand fulfilled, they're in trouble. Okay. And I'm sure you've heard of the helpful content update from 2022, August 2022. They put that on steroids with the helpful content system of September of last year. They just updated that page that they have about that December 1st of 2023. And what they did is they said, guys, so much of SEO is trying to manipulate rankings. Hey, let's create a guest blog post partnership. I'll post on your site, you post on mine. But what we're really after is these links coming back to certain pages of ours to lift ranking. Hey, what are our competitors writing about? Maybe we should be in that game too. We have no idea if it converts. We have no idea if it generates leads, but we want to be in the game because we assume that our competitors are doing a good job at their job. So we're going to do the same thing. So Google said enough. If you read the helpful content update announcement, they said, stop making content for search engines, make it for people. And they said, is the customer going to have a satisfying experience with the content? And if you read the first bullet point of what they say companies should be creating content on, it says, do you have an existing audience that would find the content useful if they came directly to you? How do they do that? They ask you a question. We love that. And then they also reiterated in the bottom section, it's titled, do not create content for search engines. And then underneath it says, are you writing for a particular word count? Because you've heard that Google cares. And then it says in parentheses, no, we don't. Here's the fact is if you're doing a long tail search, let's say you have a question and the best answer is a 50 word answer. That's what Google wants to give. It doesn't want to bring you to a blog post that says on the top, it's 17 minutes to read this. And you have to dedicate 20 minutes of your life to try to figure out where the content is that you're actually looking for. Okay. So this is content marketing. If you read anything about content strategy, what they say is, where do you get your ideas for content? And all of the articles say, ask your customer service reps, ask your sales reps, what are they being asked about? But the harsh reality is nobody's doing it. Nobody's doing it. And so that was our goal, is let's focus on the customer. Let's focus on the demand for information. Let's fulfill it in the most efficient way possible. And then what you do, like in the helpful content update, Google says what you should do is first prioritize creating satisfying content, and then you optimize it to bring searchers additional value. So you take care of the customer first, and then yes, of course, you want to align it with how most people ask that question. That's a no-brainer. And if you're doing this well, what's amazing about now is in November 23rd, I think it was Search Engine Land released the article clarifying Danny Sullivan's comments. And Danny, if anybody's listening and not familiar with Danny, he's Google's search liaison. So Google makes a change, Danny explains it. If there's question, Danny gets on a YouTube video and explains what's going on. And he is Google's search liaison to the planet. And everybody's reeling from the helpful content system, the helpful content update. Oh my gosh, all of a sudden Reddit question and answer posts have gone through the roof in searches, and they're still trying their old ways of copying competitors and guest blogging for links and whatever. And it's not working anymore. And Danny said, buckle up. There's a lot more changes to come. And that gives everybody a heart attack, of course. But the most interesting thing about that is when he had to clarify, he said, there's so much coming that I don't want to say buckle up, like everybody calm down. But then he says this, he says, because those who are making good people first content should be fine. But that said, there's a lot more coming. So Google has to fulfill the searcher's demand for information. That's not necessarily a blog post that services a company's needs for impressions and clicks. It's what the searcher wants. And Google, through the helpful content system that they announced in September, they said, listen, this wasn't a one-time update, guys, in 2022. You are now going to be judged, and your content's going to be judged based off how helpful it is. How helpful is your business? And this is how we're going to rank you now. And then Danny says, buckle up, there's more to come, which again, everybody panics. So this is not going away. And the beautiful thing about the new product results is that we didn't do anything else except publish helpful content, and it lifted the positions for the short tail. So it's real. Companies need to satisfy their customers, which is in their interest anyway, because it's going to lead to a longer lifetime value. It's going to lead to better churn numbers. It's going to lead to less returns. So all of these value metrics that they're looking for, Google is respecting it where it can also become a customer acquisition channel for you. All of these things are living together now. And really, that's our focus. When we look at content, we look at it as a bite snack meal. A bite is when you have one customer, they ask a question, you fulfill it. A snack, okay, there's more customers on your site asking that question. There's more customers on Google asking that question. Guess what? You can invest a little bit more into it. It has conversion value. You can invest a little bit more, just like a VC or an angel investor invests in a company. Get a little bit of traction, I'll put more into it. A little bit more traction, what's the demand? I'll put more into it, appropriate to the demand. You can do the same thing with content.
Yeah, it sounds almost too simple to be true, or almost too good to be true, but it makes complete sense. At the end of the day, Google was always about relevancy, right? And at the end of the day, if the content they're surfacing is becoming increasingly irrelevant because those pages were designed, and I get this experience today in Google, which is why I actually think Google today is already a worse platform than it was 5 years ago, which is worse than it was 5 years before that, is because every SEO expert on the planet has learned how to game the system, and they're one-upping each other from a competitive standpoint. And so they all end up looking and sounding and operating very similarly. And with the advent of AI, AI is oftentimes been trained on the same base data set. And as a result, all of these SEO pages sound the same, and they look the same, yep. and they behave yep. the same. So because you're trying to help brands convert future sales, not just the one in the moment where you're answering the question in the moment. So for your like dynamic FAQ landing pages, where they're just an FAQ page, not associated with a specific PDP or a specific, you know, category page, how are you injecting the shopping experience into those FAQ pages? Are you populating those with products as well?
100%. Or are you simply- yeah, you want to, it's all back to the satisfying search experience. Okay, because you do have it associated with a product, and you do have that product showing, and you do lead the user, but you don't neglect the reason why they came. When you ask a question, and if you get to a top of a product page, you still have to find the information that you're looking for. It's a subsequent search. First, you give them the answer, and then you lead them in. And we have ways of, because not all Q&As have search volume, right? They still are valuable. They're valuable as social proof. They're valuable as them knowing you're alive and answering questions from your customers. So you can supplement the long tail searches that might have a lower search volume, but you can supplement it with other content. And so there's calls to actions that you can put in place in order to obviously, serve the informational need first. You need to satisfy the customer first. You can lead them to the product. You can lead them to the category. You can lead them to sign up for your newsletter. There's different calls to actions that appropriate to what the customer actually wants. You can fulfill whatever level that is. If it's just the case that they get the answer to their question, and that's just good on your brand. Okay, that was a great experience for the brand. You can also remarket to that person. You can have the remarketing tag on. You can remarket that product that the question's associated with to that person. So there, it's not just a Q&A thread. You need to appropriately lead the person from the information to the next best step. That's good for them and good for you.
Yeah, no question about that. And when we think about how brands would typically optimize the category page, it might be a category intro text, it might be a category outro text in the footer. It might even be, hey, there's one sentence and then it's, hey, learn more or read more. And then they click that and then it expands and you can see two or three paragraphs related to that category. Yep. Do you suggest that the brands that you work with continue to try to enhance their base category or base product pages to begin with? Or do you say, look, actually, we're going to do the heavy lifting as long as we have enough information, say, for example, from a catalog feed, as long as we have enough information that we can answer 80 to 90% of those questions immediately on first ask, or we're going to slowly fill in with time that last 10, 20%. We're going to slowly fill that in time, because any gaps you guys are going to have to fill in. And then there that becomes part of the corpus of that product, right? Corpus of information or corpus of data around that product. So do you suggest that brands independently continue to optimize those pages? Or do you say, hey, look, let's let this be information request led optimization from here on out? You have to have a bare minimum. Hey, you need to have a bare minimum of information around these products. But outside that sort of skeleton of information, we'll do the rest. We'll pick up the ball and run with it from there.
So this is why we partner with agencies. We take care of the Q&A. The agencies can go through our page-by-page workflows, and they can be the ones who are understanding how it's working into your overall strategy on the domain level, the category level, the product level. And that needs to be done when that should be done. But our job is to make sure that you understand the gaps of information and make sure that those are fulfilled as efficiently as possible with the appropriate expertise. So we do have customers. They have nothing else but a table of products on their category page. And we are the information that they start to fill in because they haven't taken the time to write three paragraphs about that topic. But yes, it can fill that information in. And we can also aggregate the demand on a category level as well. These are the questions that are regularly asked about this category. And then they can distribute that to their product specialists. And then the SEO team can take a look and optimize it. It's all of the above. But we don't do technical SEO. We agencies and in-house marketing folks, they do this stuff and they do it well and they should be doing it. And we are tied into that overall strategy. And then they will use our tool within that. But yes, we do have customers that they just use us to fill in the gaps and understand where it is. Category pages are interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see how that evolves with these new Google results, because I have spoken to a lot of merchants that the only thing that they optimize for is the category page. And from an SEO standpoint, now conversion, if you're looking at a table of gloves and you need that glove to do X, Y, and Z, that kind of gets into the compatibility play. Listen, guys, I'm so glad that you have 50,000 gloves for me to choose from. I'm looking to go to Aspen in the winter. Is this going to be good enough for that? And then what the merchant's able to do is answer that with quality, helpful content, lead them to either a product or a selection of products that satisfies that need. And again, the conversion value is already there. And I'll touch on this. So you talked about SEO and conversion. The fact that you get conversion value right off the bat, and then there's SEO value. When we've talked to a lot of people around content, we'll ask them, I'm glad that you're blogging 15 times a month. How much revenue is it generating for you? And more times than not, much more, there is crickets. They don't know. And they say, we don't focus on that. We focus on impressions and clicks and click-through rate. When you talk about, I want to spend time and resources on something that gives a return on investment that actually matters in sales, customer retention, saving time and efficiency, that's where the root, the core of what content marketing should be comes from customer questions. And if you're able to do that, you get the conversion value, but then it's that whole 7.5% of engagements convert, 8% of brand new questions convert, but 21% of Q&As over time will help convert at least one person. It's a question for anybody who's listening, you can ask yourself, what percentage of your blog posts are converting to real dollars? And it's going to be turned on its head. And it needs to be, because they're, $64 billion in the SEO space? It's a lot of money being spent. And Google, with their helpful content system, like, they want you to optimize with helpful content. And it's interesting, the ordering of all their signals, their automated ranking signals, helpful content comes above page links and page rank.
Yeah. And I don't know if... because it was being so heavily gamed. And the other thing that I see that would be of benefit to your system and your technology and the way that it works is that here is another gap that I see routinely overlooked by merchants that you uniquely help them fill and plug, is that oftentimes there is not enough structured data attributes against products available to the faceting and filtering in categories. And so all of a sudden now, when we, if I'm in a category and I'm getting asked these routine questions over and over again, that basically I'm asking a question in lieu of being able to filter down the category quickly, yes, then all of a sudden I know, geez, okay, cool. This was a gap in my structured data that I didn't even know existed. Now I can go and plug this gap selectively and in a prioritized way across every product in that category, so that, cool, if I want this glove, if I want to know a glove can handle down to minus 23 degrees, then I should be able to filter by the degrees that it can go down to, for example. Yeah, yeah. And that may not be a facet that is already available against that product in a structured way. It may be in the product description, but it may not be a structured attribute that can be used in the category. And so I see a scenario where your Q&A I look at it almost like site search optimization. You can learn a lot when you're on a website and you look at the queries that people make just from the header bar. You can start to learn a lot about what you need to optimize for in terms of product information to get people quickly to where they want to be. And your system does the same thing. It allows me to know what gaps in product data, particularly structured product data, I need to add and gap fill so that the customer can identify if they've got 500 products that they're faced with in a category, they want to get down to a selection of five within one or two clicks. They don't want to click 15 times. And so this allows me to get there faster with accurate information the customer actually cares about.
Yep. And it's that compatibility match. Okay, that's great that I have a product, but now there's an environment or another product or a car or a make and model and series or whatever it is that you want to confer that this is a match for what you're looking to achieve. And that is gold, because by the time that you fulfill that match it's the reason why RV Upgrade sees 75% of those question and answer pairs convert. It's because you are so far down the funnel. Think about the headache to go try to find another site and filter that satisfies that exact need. The conversion value is through the roof. So to be able to support that and supply that and gain insights from the data of what you might want to do on a category level or landing pages or things like that, 100%.
Love it. Love it. James, look, this has been an education for me, because this is an area where I'm not like the SEO guru of the world. It's just not a space I play in. So I really appreciate your deep knowledge, your capability, your experience, your very practical experience in this space, and love what you're doing with a platform that, you know, plugs a gap that a lot of brands actually need plugged. So well done for wading into the fray and saying, hey, look, we're not just going to be another SEO optimization platform. We're not just going to effectively be another Moz. We're not going to be another automated landing page creator. We're actually going to be driving what we're doing based on the actual demand for information in real time. And that's the thing that I love probably the most of all. So I really appreciate you sharing. How do you guys make your money? How do you charge? What's your model? You're clearly a SaaS platform, especially for a lot of the information you hold internally and then you surface on the customers or on the merchant's website. So for you guys, how do you monetize your services?
Yeah, so we have a monthly or yearly subscription that we have different plans that are available based off of the size and the scope of what we are integrating into. But all of our plans, we used to offer a $49 a month plan, and one of our customers, we were assisting in $80,000 worth of sales a month. So we needed to realign our pricing a little bit to make sense with the value that we were bringing as opposed to our costs. But we have set those plans up to scale for measurable ROI in conversions, in organic traffic, in the emails collected, in the content creation, in the efficiency. We scale based off of value that we give. And that's how those plans have been set up. And it's a monthly or yearly subscription. For enterprises, we have enterprise contracts and agreements that we can put in place. Those go from anywhere from 1 to 5 years, depending on the engagement. But all shapes and sizes.
Love it. And what's on your radar for the next 6, 12, 18 months for the platform? What do you not do today that you'd love to be doing? Or what do you not do today that maybe customers are saying, hey, I'd love it if you did this? Like, what's high on your priority list to enhancing the platform over the next 12 months or so?
Yeah, we have a laundry list of things to do that we're really excited about. I don't know if I can share. You're catching me off guard here. I don't know what to share and what not to share. But yeah, it's
nothing too commercially sensitive, just broad brush strokes.
No, it's all driven off of measurable value based off of customer demand and the conversion value of the content. And so we think that there are additional content types. So we already support not only Q&A, but also articles and documentation, as well as product documents and things like that. But there are several other content types where we feel we will be able to auto-generate and bring to about 80% content that the merchant or their agency can then round off that will have direct conversion value. And that is the ability to take a little bit away from blogs where that attribution is not there, and to be able to allow merchants at a fraction of the cost to be able to start publishing longer form pieces of content that have direct attribution is really big on our radar, and we're really excited about that.
Wow. Sounds like you got a roadmap full of good ideas. So can't wait to see what's coming next. Now, as we come down to the end of our time together, and I super appreciate all the education and knowledge you've shared with me today. You've dropped a lot of knowledge bombs. I always like to turn the microphone over to my guests, let them ask me one question, any question they like, can be personal or professional. James Arnold from AnswerBase, what is your question for me today?
Oh boy, that's a great, Jason, you're stumping me here.
That's good.
Here's what I want to know from you. I want to know what one piece of advice or feedback that you've gotten that you just thought was an absolute gold nugget and that you took away and actually, I don't want to say reshaped your perspective, but it had an impact on you.
Look, I actually have to go back quite a ways now, probably about 8 years ago. But a large part of what I do in our industry is not directly working with clients. It's making content or trying to make content that helps make people's lives better and actually creates or gathers together the hive mind of knowledge we have in our industry and exposes that in new ways. And I look back, and I've said this before on previous episodes, but really, regardless of what you think about Gary Vee, I have to thank him, because the reality is I wouldn't have started on my content journey the way that I did and when I did without him consistently kicking my ass every single day, month in, month out, month in, month out, him basically saying, okay, mother effer, if you think you're such a thought leader, why don't you put your thoughts out there and let it be open for critique on the open market, and then we'll see if you're a thought leader or not. The best thoughts, the best ideas will get traction, and those that aren't great won't. And yep. Let the market decide. Let the market decide how good you, as good as you think you are, let the market decide, because ultimately it is going to decide whether you like it or not. So unless you put it out there, you will never truly know. So I have to thank him for kicking off this journey around 8-9 years ago now, where I just got sick of hearing him, his obnoxious voice in my head saying, just start, just get, pull finger and get going. Doesn't matter yep. how, you know, nobody's going to see it at first anyway, because you don't have an audience. So the reality yep. is you'll get better in tandem with the growth of your audience. Your capabilities, your skills, your ability to articulate your thoughts will get better over time with practice. Just like anything else, trying to hit a baseball, whatever it is, you will get better with time. And so your audience will grow in tandem with that. And I look back on that as such a massive turning point in my life, that a significant part of the best parts of my professional world are due to that decision 8+ years ago, 9 years ago to start doing that, to start putting my ideas out into the world. Even as crude as it was and as crude as I was at that time, almost everything significant good that's happened in my career since can be traced back to that decision. And so that is the piece of advice that I would like to give where credit is due.
I love it. What I love about that is not everybody has people that invest in them. And I mentor some high school kids at a local high school, and they have a Shark Tank set up and whatnot. But I just remember the one guy in high school that I remember was a bank manager that came in, and he decided to drop some nuggets. And I don't think we had anybody else from the outside world come into our school, but I remember exactly what he said. And it's just encouragement for you. You can share information as well, and you can have just as big of an impact. And that's a big deal. So I like to ask what those nuggets were for other people that kind of just kicked you in the butt or just reshaped something and opened up your world a bit.
And that was truly it. What a fantastic question. I've never been asked that before in quite that context. So I absolutely love that. Now, I'll put, of course, your contact details, your LinkedIn, company page, links all into the show notes. But other than that, other than the website and LinkedIn, how do you like people to get a hold of you and reach out if they want to have a chat?
Yeah, if you want to have a chat, you can email me directly at james.arnold@answerbase.com. That's the best way to start. And then from there, if you go to our website or fill out our contact form and say that you listen to this podcast, we can get in touch with that as well.
So. Love it, my friend. I really appreciate this. This was an enlightening conversation, and it sounds like you're building something super special over at Answerbase. So keep going is all I'd say. Keep going, because a lot of merchants out there need your help. So fantastic work, and I can't wait to speak to you again soon, my friend. Are you a B2B or D2C e-commerce merchant? Then head over to greenwoodconsulting.net to learn how we can help you scale your business.